Well, we spoke a couple of weeks ago about the mother that was lamenting the fact that her teenage son hadn't gone to school in 2 years after he'd become addicted to this online game Fortnite. Now, I've told you before that I tried to work out what this Fortnite thing was. I downloaded it on my phone and I couldn't even make it start. But we're hearing stories that kids are getting addicted, not only to this game, but this seems to be the flavour of the month at the moment. But what do you do about it? I mean, if you've got a kid that is addicted to a video game, what are the answers? John McMahon's a youth motivational speaker and hopefully he's going to give us some of those answers. John, good to speak with you this evening.
Oh, good evening. How are you, mate?
I'm very well. Mate, a lot of the comments we get when we talk about this thing, people will say, well, hang on, if a kid's addicted to a video game, that's bad parenting. Just take the video game away from him. But is it that simple?
Look, on one side it is. On the other side, some parents can't literally bring themselves to do that because of the pain it then brings into the house, the anxiety, the stress, the anger, the outburst, and they need permission or an opportunity to be able to clear the ground and go at this in a confronting manner where they're not going to back down from it.
My understanding is that the chemical reactions that go on in the brain with these kind of things are very similar to gambling addicts. And I always find it difficult to find that connection between, I understand drugs. It's a chemical that has been inserted into the body and it wreaks havoc with whatever's normally going on in the body. There's nothing from out, there's no external influence here from a chemical perspective, is there?
No, there isn't, but there are chemicals released in the brain, and I mean, just like adrenaline. I talk about adrenaline dumps. I ride motorcycles, mate. I ride Harleys, race bikes, dirt bikes, and I know that feeling, but I also have the emotional intelligence to know when enough is enough. I have that maturity. Well, some would say I don't, but I have that maturity to go, you know what, I've spent the whole weekend out dirt bike riding, I need to go home. Or I've spent the whole day out on the Harley, I need to go home. We're talking about young people, and look, this is a common fact that their brain is only half developed at the age we're talking. That's been around for years. So they don't have that emotional intelligence to know when enough is enough. So we have a generation of young people who are emotionally in debt, up to their eyeballs, overconnected, overstimulated, and we've got parents that have just allowed that to happen because it's convenient. It started off as being convenient. Oh, look, he's quiet, he's doing this, he's doing that. I can get on with my meeting, I can get on with my show, I can get on with housework or whatever. But now we're in this place where they're spending their whole weekend in their bedrooms coming out to get some food, and then when it comes to going to school, like, I mean, how can you compete with gaming, high-tech gaming, and school?
John, tell me that when we were kids, we had Ataris and not PlayStations and Xboxes, but, you know, we had a Nintendo or you had a Commodore 64, but we didn't hear about these gaming addictions back then. What has changed?
Well, I think the major thing is technology has changed, and I'm not talking about, you know, the quality of the visual quality of the game, but we would get off the bus, mate, and we'd say, I'll see you on Monday, or I'll see you at footy, or whatever. These kids get off the bus, and they're still connected, and they're still connected till 2, 3, 4 o'clock, sometimes all evening, you know. Be it gaming, be it social media, they are over-connected. And I'm not a prude. I use social media all the time. I'm on Instagram, I've got my business on Facebook, and I'm always engaging with people. But they don't switch off. And that's what I'm talking about. This emotional debt and this social debt is built up. You don't get that time back. You don't get that energy back. You don't get that emotional drain, you know, or they would see it as a charge, but you don't get that back. It takes time.
So what do parents do then? Because I go back to when we were kids again. Our parents said, you know, if you spent too much time in front of the TV, they'd throw you out of the house and make you go and play in the yard. These days, parents seem to be struggling with that. I mean, this particular story that I mentioned earlier from a couple of weeks ago, where this mother said that the son was becoming violent, a teenager locked in his room, wouldn't come out except to go to the bathroom and to eat. My first reaction to that is, well, while he's in the bathroom, you go and take the PlayStation and throw it in the bin.
Yeah, we've seen videos about that. And, you know, look, it's sad when it gets to that point. But, you know, sometimes you just got to take massive and immediate action. Sometimes you've got to do stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you've got two situations, or three probably. You've got the situation where you've got a kid who is completely addicted, parents have let it go, kids have pushed to the point where it's so hard for parents to manage it, that it is in that place where they are totally addicted. They need to seek professional help. Yep. Those kids need professional help. Mum and dad are never going to win that war. But that's the extreme situation. The more common situation, you've got a parent who is trying to guide this and manage this as their kids get interested. Well, they have got the whole ground. Mum and dad have got to be on the same page, the same part of the page, and know why they're on that. And not just say, I'm with your father on this, or I'm with your mother. You've got to know the reasons why. And then parent through the pain. People hear me say this all the time. Parent through the pain of enforcing a decision. You'll get the faces, you'll get the remarks, you'll get the tantrums, you'll get the, you know, you'll get the aggressive tones and all that. Just parent through that. You know, parenting a teenager is a traumatic experience. Not for the teenager, but for the parent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting perspective, because I think to myself that, you know, there would be people out there that say the reason, you know, don't punish kids like we used to, because that pain they go through is too hard for them to handle. But I guess that's being felt on both sides, and the parent has got to ride it out as much as they want. Yeah. They want to make the child ride it out, so to speak.
You know what? Like, there's a lot of stuff going around, and, you know, I work in this space. I've worked with teenagers for 27 years, and in the last 10 years running Motivate, I have seen a great pendulum swing in favour of mental health, in favour of us understanding anxiety, stress and depression to a whole new level. But in terms of this, in terms of, you know, I'm seeing kids walk themselves into anxiety, walk themselves into stress and depression as a result of their choices. That's not something I have a lot of grace with. It's not something, the poor kid. I work with kids who, I've got a kid who's as anxious about not being home to get on his game or his platform as a kid who has a mum who's got a significant illness. Now, yeah. Something is wrong when that's the expression. And when we just pander to kids, you know, well, we don't want to cause him to be anxious, we don't want to cause him to be stressed, that's bullshit. Sorry, but
yeah.
Stress, anxiety, and depression are normal parts of life, and we all go through it, and we all have our ways and our support people that we can reach out to. The important thing is that we make kids aware that the phone is going to come up tomorrow, and you are going to get through this, and you are going to be able to cope without this. But if we remove all those things from them, we're setting them up for failure.
Yeah, when you tell that story about a kid being as anxious about not playing his game as a kid whose mother is significantly ill, the word perspective is the thing that pops into my mind, and that seems to be what we're lacking.
Absolutely, mate. I see this at my events. I have parents. I do these events called Motivating Boys, and I have I tell my story at the start, yep. And then I share some principles from some of the seminars that I do, and then I open it up for live questions, mate. Really powerful times in rooms for families, and when you read the reviews of what parents are saying, you know, it's like the penny actually dropped for them, because that's what we do. We put it in context, and I'm talking to 11 to 17 year olds who have negotiated their way to the point where they're actually the parent in the house.
Yeah.
Without the responsibility of it, but where they dictate everything. That is not on. And look, this might be a little bit off topic, but it's very on topic for me. And when we get this aggressive behaviour, particularly from young males, particularly to their mums, to attitudes, even to the point of pushing and shoving them, like, oh, there is no, you know, to me, that's just a no-go zone. I'm not interested in your argument, not interested in anything you have to say, because that is a line. But if you cross that with your mum, how much easier will you cross that with any woman?
Yeah, well, I think you've said a mouthful there, John. John, really good to speak to you this evening, mate. I appreciate your time.
No worries. My pleasure.
That's John McMahon, a youth motivational speaker. Look, if you are a parent that is going through these issues, what have you tried to do to combat it? I mean, what's going on in your home if you've got kids that are addicted to these video games? 13 27 10, give us a call.